There's Chris.
Okay, we'll bring this meeting to order. Can everybody please stand and join me with the flag salute? Hey, thank you. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Sesenia. President Fourcroy.
I'm here. Okay, well, thank you everybody for being here. Today, our first order of business is a special proclamation. Ron has been our general manager for 6 years, almost seven years, forever. And he's done such a great job. We're really excited for his retirement for him, but also we're going to definitely miss him and all his hard work. So with that, I have a proclamation to read. A proclamation of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors commending funds for his service to Los Osos. Whereas the Los Osos Community Services District recognizes and celebrates the dedicated public service of Ron Munns and his lasting contributions to the Los Osos community. And whereas Ron Munns began his service to the community in 2008 as a volunteer member of the Utilities Advisory Committee, demonstrating an early commitment to public service and improvement of district operations and infrastructure. And whereas through years of dedicated involvement, leadership, and service to the community, Ron Munns earned the respect of district staff, board members, and residents through his thoughtful approach, professionalism, and commitment to the public interest. And whereas in August 2019, Ron was appointed general manager of the Los Osos Community Services District, where he provided leadership and oversight of district operations, programs, infrastructure, financial stewardship, and community services. And whereas during his tenure as general manager, Ron Munns worked diligently to support the district's mission of providing essential public services, maintaining and improving infrastructure, advancing capital projects, ensuring regulatory compliance, and planning for long-term needs of the community. And whereas Ron Munns consistently demonstrated integrity, accountability, collaboration, and dedication to public service, leaving a lasting and positive impact on this organization and the residents of Los Osos. And whereas Ron Munns has demonstrated a strong commitment to teamwork, accountability for the service to the public, earning the respect and appreciation of colleagues, board members, partner agencies, and community members alike. And whereas his years of service reflect a deep commitment to this community and exemplify the values of public service and community leadership. And now, therefore, it be proclaimed that the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Services District hereby express its sincere gratitude and appreciation to Ron Munns for his years of dedicated service and extends best wishes for the best of health, happiness, and success in all his future endeavors, dated today. So thank you very much, Ron. I'm going to ask for a recommendation. So, before we say a whole lot, we have a I know we're going to say a lot here. We're going to have public comment, but we also have a couple surprises for you before we get too far. Can you give them a little wave?
Oh,
I'd like to introduce Shane Stoneman.
no.
You guys got to get a picture with Dan real quick. So this is a custom CSD model. One of one for Ron Muntz.
See you on the South Jetty. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, Shane. Wow.
And also we have a card that people have been signing and will continue to sign for you, expressing their gratitude.
Signed by many people here and throughout the community.
Thank you. Those of you that know me, I really think it's lots of attention.
Hey, jump into the cup.
Sincerely, thank
you. So, I want to open up for the board to have any comments they'd like to make.
I think it's hard to express how much we appreciate your service, but I think they did a pretty good job. You've done so much for us, and I'd say you'd be missed, but I don't think we're really going to let you go without kind of roping you back in. So, but yeah, thank you for all that you've done to just get this organization in such a much better position. So thanks.
I tried to count the number of general managers that we've been through since 2005 when I first was a member of this board, and I couldn't remember them all. I just couldn't. But I know none of them have served for as long a time and have meant as much to the district. Most people, when they finish their career, if you get to sit back and say, I made a difference, that's a good thing. Some people probably deserve a superhero status. Some people do it twice in their life, once for a community in San Luis Obispo. Their water resiliency is unmatched in the county. And then you came here and you put on a different cape. Actually, you don't even need a cape. So I don't know how to say thanks. I don't know how to say thanks, but I am happy that the transition's going to be good, that we've got someone that I'm confident that is going to steer us into the future. But don't be in a hurry to get out the door.
I can't follow that.
Well, I know, Ron, that I just really respect your level of professionalism here and your le the way that you're able to stay calm and engage with anybody. You're a true professional, and I've learned a ton about how to act that way from you. And I just really appreciate the time that we got to work together.
Well, Ron, I'm pretty much one of the rookies in the group here, so I haven't really gotten to work with you all that long. But I know we go way back to softball playing days and all that, so it's not like I didn't know who you were. I just appreciate you make me feel so welcome when I did end up joining the CSD board. And appreciate everything you've done for Los Osos. I'm sure I'll be bumping into you at Ralph's like I usually do. And just like I said on the card, just relax now and have a good time with your retirement if you can.
Okay, I think it's time to open this up for any public comment anybody would like to make.
If you're online, raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. And then can I read something just real quick?
I was wondering if you would say something.
Yes, I just wanted to say what an honor it has been to work for Ron for the last 7 years. I'm so excited he's retiring, but he's going to so be missed. But I mean, words can't even express how truly blessed and fortunate I've been over the last 7 years. I mean, like Matthew said, his calm demeanor and how he can engage with everyone. He's always been so kind and compassionate when mistakes happen, and he's always been worked and helped you get better and be a better person and a better employee. So I know I'm truly blessed. And I'm so excited you get to retire soon, Ron. You're going to be so missed. And there's no public comment online right now.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Laura.
Ron, what a privilege it's been for me to be able to work with you. As the head of LOCAC, chair of LOCAC, you and I have regular meetings, and your expertise has made such a difference in my understanding of how things work and how to make things work better. I will miss you. But like everybody else, I know you're not going far. So I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon. Thank you.
Good evening, Andrea Luker, resident of Los Osos, but I don't think as long as Ron, so I'm not even going to say my years. A lot of the same words. Thank you for all your dedication. You're always steady and you're calm, such a great attitude. Your problem-solving ability is amazing. I've been here for 40 years, so I feel like you came in to Los Osos CSD and you really steadied the ship, and we really needed that. And that was really from the day that you came in. I do hope you enjoy your retirement, joining those of us that are retired. And I added a little note here. If you find yourself time and when the swell is small, I am happy to direct you to a couple of nonprofits that could really use your expertise. Thank you.
No one retires in Los Osos.
Love the plug. Please be patient with me tonight.
This is a sad day for Los Osos. It's a sad day for me. I've known Ron since 2008 when he was on the utilities committee. We worked on rate studies together. He's rung the bell for people helping people on Friday night. Mary at one door, Ron at the other, sometimes together. Very generous. I can tell you, both he and his wife are very generous individuals. This proclamation, I looked around the room when I came in and I see all the photos of past boards of directors. This proclamation should be framed and should be in this room. When's the last time this board gave a proclamation to a general manager? It should hang in this room. And if you guys don't want to do it and that and you allow it, I'll pay for having it framed and hung. But I think it should be in this. 7 years, everything that this district has done has been paid for with cash. We haven't had to go out to finance anything. The district reserves are higher than they ever been. The unassigned cash is higher than it's ever been. The list of projects that have been accomplished is more than have ever been done in a 7 year period in this community. The one outstanding thing and the big difference between this general manager and any of the general managers we have, and Matthew alluded to it, is his ability to work and listen to everyone, the naysayers, the advocators, the friends, the foes, the boards, the committees. I also want to say, because I know she's been very patient for all these years, I want to thank his wife, Mary. I'm sure she would have liked him to have retired. He's way past normal retirement age or federal retirement age.
Take it easy there. Take it easy.
And I hope, I know Ron's going to stay active, and whoever asked about joining a nonprofit, I know one that he's tentatively committed to. People having people, but Ron was our award winner. Now I drew a blank. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And there's four of our board members in the room that came to show their appreciation and be here for tonight. It's a sad day. We've got an unbelievable leader, best leader we've ever had. I wish it had happened 20 years ago. I can't imagine where this district would be if we had had Ron for 20 years. But you got here. We now have him. It looks like you picked a good replacement. I hope we continue on the same path. There's not much more I can say. I eternal gratitude. He's a good friend. He's been a good friend to this community. He was a good friend to Vista Darrow during the crisis, during the fundraisers. He's been a good advocate for his church. What do you call that building?
Adoration Chapel?
Adoration Chapel, that he had a big hand in making happen. His stamp is all over this community. Let's not forget him. And I think, again, I think that proclamation should be in the office here. And we do have something for Mary. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi, Dan Heimel, Executive Director of Basin Management Committee. I've had the pleasure of working with Ron in a variety of roles, but just very intimately over the last 5 years with the committee. And, you know, I really recognize Ron. He's a friend. He's a mentor to me and just has been a longtime water champion here in San Luis County. I guess 40 years of public service, 38. Admirable amount for sure. And I also guess longest tenured Los Osos CSD GM. Yeah, so I got that one right. In his role, he's brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Basin Management Committee. He's helped us through his connections and his diligence, construct new monitoring wells, do additional exploration, really helped us improve our understanding of the groundwater basin that we rely upon here in Los Osos. And to my knowledge, Ron's already involved in a couple of nonprofits. Mm-hmm. You got the National Estuary Program, Coastal San Luis RCD, and I think there's others that he's on the board for. So you're going to have competition getting him engaged in others. But, you know, Ron, as I mentioned, he's more than a friend. He's been a mentor. There's been so many mornings that I've come in at an ungodly hour, we just sit and we talk and we solve the county's water problems, and then and then we start our work day. And I'd say I'm going to miss those talks, but I'm optimistic that we're going to keep those going. So I've learned so much from Ron's patience, his practical thinking, his humility, and his ability to bring people together. One of the things that I've gotten to know about Ron over the years is he's a bit of a creature of habit. He shows up at work the same time long before the sun is up. He leaves for lunch at 11:30 sharp to go have lunch with his wife. You can set a clock to it. And then every weekend, which I find is the most impressive, he is surfing South Jetty at the crack of dawn, rain or shine, swell, conditions, anything. You'll find him there. So if anybody's missing Ron, you'll know where to find him. But your fingerprints are all over Los Osos and the success that the CSD has had and the protection of our water resources. So I'd like to thank you, Ron, for the friendship, the mentorship, the leadership, and your decades of public service. So wishing you many more waves, more music, more family time, and thank you for all you've done for our community and me. Thank you.
I'm Mary Munz, Ron Munz's wife, and I'm his biggest fan, and I'm sorry you guys are going to miss him, but I'm really looking forward to having him home with me. So thank you for being such good workmates with him. He's really enjoyed his time here, and I'm sure he's going to stay connected, but I'm really looking forward to spending more time with him. So thanks for cutting him loose.
Hi, I'm Beth Renicki, and I worked with Ron in several different ways. I mean, primarily with water. I think Dan calling you water champion is very fitting, but I know you're a champion of so much else in this community. And I want to say on behalf of myself and the S&T water system for sure, you know, what you've done has been so greatly appreciated. There's really no words for what you put into this community. To say you're a good steward is a complete understatement. You're just an amazing citizen in this town, and we greatly appreciate you. And now that I got to go after your wife, I'm very glad that you get to spend more time with her. I think what she's given and sacrificed for your career is also amazing. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you so much.
Well, a few words. Like I said, it's really awkward for me to have people talk about me, and I certainly appreciate all the comments and really appreciate the surfboard, gotta say. But I do want to recognize my family. They're all right back here, especially Mary. She has been so patient through the years. You know, as my tenure here, we've been through a lot, if you think back. COVID. We didn't know how we were going to even operate our district, and we had to figure that out. Vista de Oro incident, you know, just put us in a really a bind, and but the community was so supportive. This board has been amazing for people that don't come to these meetings. These are the people that really make the decisions. I just propose things and try to be the doer, but I've been blessed with the board members and the couple before Rich and Tom came on were amazing too. So a lot of things to be grateful for. And I am humbled by all the conversation we just had. I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to this community. And I just want to say thank you to the community. And this has been, in my 38-year career, this has been the highlight, definitely. So thank you.
So before we close it out, I want to say thank you to Mary for letting Ron delay his retirement. I know you would have liked him to retire sooner, but he was a great gift to us. And I think that having the proclamation in the boardroom is a fine idea.
I do too, given the fact that, you know, a statue is really what would be warranted. But
maybe just a photograph with
given
the surfboard.
Given the fact that we still need an office down at the water yard and a building for the heavy equipment over on Farrell, the statue's probably going to have to wait.
Understood.
Okay, this card's going to stay in the office for a few weeks or so.
Still the end of the month.
End of the month. So if anybody that's listening or anybody that still wants to sign and put down a message, they're going to have that ability. So it'll stay here and Ron can check it out from office. I think the best thing to do is take a 15 minute recess and then re-adjourn in 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to reconvene our meeting from our short recess. And we'll move on to our agenda item number 3, which is our fire department report.
Right on time.
What an entry.
Perfect timing.
Okay, is this on?
All right.
Well, first we want to congratulate Ron from the fire family. So, for a lot of great things about you. I'm Travis Craig, I'm division chief. I'm temporarily overseeing the North Coast behind Chief Jeremy Brandt, who moved on to Southern California for a promotion. So they'll be filling the North Coast division chief here soon. So I'm temporarily overseeing, I'm the South Coast division chief. So I'm gonna deliver your May 2026 fire report. So the district ran a total service calls of 86 service calls. 77 of those were medical aids, 6 were traffic accidents, 1 surf rescue, 5 public assists, 1 structure fire, and 1 veg fire. Both the fires were of any significance and nothing to really report on those. On the administrative portion of the report from Station 15 South Bay, it's currently accepting reserve firefighter applications. The physical ability test and oral interviews will be scheduled after the start of the new fiscal year, so that'll be in July. And the applications may be picked up and turned in at 2315 Bayview Heights Drive in Los Osos. And the application packets are also available on the Los Osos CSD website. Okay, special programs and project reports. The second round of fire hazard abatement inspections took place May 23rd through May 31st. Properties that did not pass inspections will receive a notice by mail with details regarding abatement standards. The final deadline for abatement is July 1st of this year. On April 30th, 2026, 145 feet of our ladders at Station 15 South Bay underwent their annual testing and the and maintenance and ensured for proper condition. All units passed. Additionally, the extrication tools, self-contained breathing apparatus, received their annual maintenance as well. On May 19th of 26, the 3 Zoll XS series monitor defibrillators received their annual preventative maintenance conducted by Zoll Medical Group personnel. On May 25th, Station 15 South Bay personnel attended the annual Memorial Day service at the Los Osos Valley Mortuary. The new command vehicle has been placed in service. That's the new Battalion 3411 that Chief Lorenzo drives. And the old Utility 15 has been taken out of service, and the new Utility 15 has been put in service. South Bay staff will be seeking board approval to declare the excess old Utility 15 as a surplus vehicle to advertise the truck for sale. And that's the end of the fire report.
Thank you. Any questions about fire? Okay, none. Any public comment for the fire report?
If you're online, raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is none online.
Okay, thank you very much for coming and for everybody to be here tonight. It's a good night to come and hang out with us. Do we have a sheriff report?
He had to log off, so he's not here anymore.
Okay. Or CHP?
No, CHP, this is their off month. They'll be back next month.
Okay. All right. With that, we're going to move on to agenda item number 4. And I'm going to open the public hearing to adopt the proposed fiscal year 26-27 budget.
Thank you, members of the board. This is Greg Qualick, general manager. I will be presenting the budget, and the goals and objectives of the budget are to fund our operations, capital, and district programs, to fund our reserves, and to accomplish committee work plans. Before I jump in, I want to give a special thanks to all the staff, really the team, that make the district happen. A special shout out to Laura Durbin and Alicia Zuniga for putting the budget together, as well Ron Munns and Christine up at the fire station, who's taken an increasingly lead role in aspects of the fire's budget. So as you all remember, and I believe I was in the room for this before I came on, the preliminary budget was presented to the board of directors on May 7th. And there were some recommended changes during that meeting, and this budget incorporates those changes, plus a couple more, which we'll talk about. So we'll just go through the budget again. Please stop me if there's any questions. First, we start with the Zone A property tax allocation. This, again, was already discussed at the May 7th meeting, and there was a change to the allocation. So this is the updated allocation. And it has now $150,000 from Zone A going to the fire fund and $100,000 going to Parks and Rec. I'll move on to the cost allocation. There was a sort of a balancing exercise at the last board meeting related to this item, and some minor adjustments were made to the cost allocation plan and the percentages that come or that fund admin from all of the funds. And so there was a slight increase in the fire fund and their contribution to the cost allocation plan from 12.5% to 13.1%. Water went down 2%. Solid waste, parks and rec stayed the same. Drainage went up 1.5%. Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro went down 0.05%, and wastewater stayed the same. And we come to the same total if you add all those numbers up. And that is essentially the expenditure budget for admin, that $1,008,046. Again, all those changes were proposed at the last meeting. I'd like to move on to a new position. This was anticipated by the board. On May 7th, the concept of an assistant general manager was introduced to the board of directors and was approved. And so then I started on May 18th, and we talked it through as a team here, and we decided to add another kind of route to get to the assistant general manager, which I may call the AGM just for short. But we added an assistant general manager / district engineer. And the idea here is to give flexibility with the recruitment. We'd like to recruit both positions at the same time and see what we get. We cast a wide net, but we're only hiring one. So on the one hand, we could see really good candidates that come out of the operator realm who maybe want to run a district one day and would like to learn and are already leaders in their own right and can assist with a variety of other tasks beyond basic operations. And on the other hand, we have that same role plus you're a licensed engineer and you've got 7 years experience and you can run a capital program, which is something that in my 2.5 weeks here, I think is sorely needed, is that kind of management of the capital program. So this is what I just said. And here are the salary ranges. This is based on a comp study that the admin team here conducted. So for the assistant general manager, bottom step would be 127,000. Top step would be around 154,500 per year. And we took that salary range and we said, okay, well, what would it mean to add the district engineer to the title? And looking at old invoices from past years, the district spends around $40,000 a year on district engineer services. And so we decided to add $30,000 to the salary to basically offset that cost that we wouldn't have to pay anymore and still leave some room, about $10,000 room for costs for benefits and things like that. So that's how the salaries match up. So the AGM district engineer would be, the range would be from 151,000 to 184,500. And I already talked about this a bit, but the new position, regardless whether they're an engineer or not, would do the following. And again, this person would be working very closely with me. So I may take some of these tasks or they may take others from me depending on their skill set. But would provide capital program oversight and implementation, regulatory reporting and compliance, management of the utilities department, preparation of board presentations, facilitation of the utilities advisory committee, and they'd serve as acting general manager in my absence. So before I move on, I just wanted to see if there were, oh, one last thing, sorry. When looking at this and thinking where this individual would be spending most of their time, we decided to propose that the costs for the position would be split 60-40, 60 coming from water, 40 coming from admin or fund 100. And the recommendation is, regardless of whether we hire the AGM or the AGM slash district engineer, it would be that 60-40 split. And it's something we could always adjust in the future. So before I move on, I just wanted to see if there's any questions from the board about that new position.
I have a couple questions. What's the timeline look like is one question. The second question I guess I have is about the recruiting process and kind of how you see that progressing. And like, we just did a recruiting process, obviously. So we're armed with a little bit of information. It might be dangerous, but just kind of curious, like how we're thinking this is, or you're thinking it's going to go.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I've been a part of many recruitments in my career. I would see us opening the recruitment as early as next week and keeping it open 3 or 4 weeks. You know, with recruitments, you can either have a deadline to apply, or you can say, you know, first review of the applications is on X date. And that allows you to set a deadline, but keep the door open in case other applicants come in or you don't get the applicants you were looking for in that first pass. So I might go for that second route. I would hope we're interviewing in July sometime. And then in consideration that most folks who are employed, you know, at this level need to give 30 days notice. So we'd hope that 30 days later, after an offer is made and it's accepted, that they'd come in. So I would hope by end of August, we'd have someone here. And that kind of matches up nicely with Ron's timeline, because, you know, Ron is going to be filling in for when Margaret retires in just a few weeks. So that's how I see that. To your other question, SLO County is a kind of, everyone knows each other and it's a small town. So I've got some ideas. I'm sure others have ideas too. If you're in the room or you're listening, you know, let's talk. But we can recruit through conventional channels like ASCE or there's other, you know, water related organizations that we can do outreach through. But I'm going to be aggressively recruiting for this role because I think it's critical to the continued success of the organization. We have a lot of capital work ahead of us. And even when that capital work is done, there's apparently a list of a couple dozen more projects that, you know, have been on the back burner. So that's how I see that going. You know, I just to close out, I think this is an exciting organization. We're at a really good point, as we all heard a few minutes ago, and how Ron and the board have brought this organization to a new place. And now it's time to really perform and get things done. So I think that's what a lot of people want to go into. So again, I think we are an attractive organization for someone to come into, and I look forward to spreading that message in the recruitment process.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Any other comments, questions from the board?
Yeah. Help me understand the allocations here. This new position, 60% would be paid for by water, but how does that change the allocation to admin? We went from 71 to 69. How does that all roll together? I mean, admin doesn't really have money except what they pull from other departments. So if 40% of this is coming from admin, where's that money coming from? These things confuse me. Cost allocations.
Sure. And it's a good question, and you're right to want a little more detail on that. And so I am going to say before anything else that we're, you know, we're taking an educated guess on where it lands. And then once the position's here, we can see, you know, how is the time actually spent? We can balance it out. But I will say that, you know, when looking at the work that is ahead of us, you know, the fire station is going to be a massive project for us. Regardless of whether it's a you know, a full-on replacement rebuild or a remodel, it's going to be a big project for the district. The Cabrillo issue is a massive project that we need to figure out and do right, you know. So none of those things are water. And then you have lots of other things. If the Sunnyside thing works out, which, you know, with a recent vote, it's apparently very close. There could be a lot of work there that's not water related. That said, the core of this position is running the utilities department. And then many of our capital projects are water related. So beyond the inner tie, there's a lot of other ones that are water related. So we took a look at that and decided on starting out at 60-40 as a trial. And then with the understanding that we could adjust as time goes on.
I guess my real question is, how does that affect the 70% or so that you know, water will be paying into administrative costs? Does that go up 10%, 20%? That 60% with a new position, how does it change water's allocation to Fund 100?
That's a good question, and I apologize, we don't have a side-by-side comparison, but you know, my understanding is that Fund 100, if 40% of this position goes to Fund 100, that increases the overall budget of that fund, which means more money is drawn out of the other funds because they're just a percentage of that whole.
Right.
But we don't have a cost comparison.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think, are you saying sort of that it gets 60, it's 60% water, 40% admin, and of admin, it's 71% water? So it's like
I'm trying to understand. Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around all of it.
I guess that kind of threw me when I saw it earlier a little bit about the majority of our admin Fund 100 is coming from water.
It's true.
71% of it. Mm-hmm. So 71% of 40% plus 60% is the total water draw, basically. So it's definitely water heavy. And
well, that's our CIP. I mean,
sure. But if we go build a firehouse and it's going to take changes every other time, then yeah, maybe that budget year we change that allocation.
We can adjust that. Yeah.
It's certainly an interesting quirk of the way we budget through the cost allocation plan. And you point out a good point that, yeah, it's actually more than 60 because it's probably something more like 85% if you consider that. That's true.
Thank you.
Any other questions about this position before I move on? Okay, moving ahead. So we're going to go through all the funds again. We'll go high level today because, again, the board's already seen this. But again, stop me if there's any questions. So the administration budget, Fund 100. One thing, I'll just point out a couple highlights. There is an increase of almost $215,000. That accounts for the overlap time between Ron and I. That accounts for some leave time payout for Ron. And it also accounts for the AGM position. And let's see, you can also see that reflected in personnel. Moving on, Bay Ridge Estates. That is one where the cost allocation percentage dropped ever so slightly at 0.05%.
Let's hang on right there. Is there any public comment for funds 100 or 200? Anybody wants to make?
If you're online, raise your hand.
Okay. Moving on.
And there's none online.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Going to Fire Fund 301. Again, the staff did change the allocation from Zone A to 43.3% to bring it to $150,000. And that was and also an adjusted transfer percentage of 13.1%. Also, one of our residents who was taking a look at this, who happens to be in the room, did catch that the district had already met their general contingency reserve cap for the fire funds, and that was a good call out. And so we were, the staff had already proposed to put $90,000 into the fire fund general contingency reserve, but now we are not doing that because, again, we've met the cap, so it'll go into unassigned cash. And there's the fire fund. So here we have supplies. Ron, would you mind speaking to that?
Oh, sure. Services and supplies go down significantly because of the Schedule A contract eliminating countywide overhead. So that's what you're seeing there. And then the transfers, you can see what it went from 12.5% to 13.1%. And so that bottom line net revenue over expenses has gone from a negative, like this fiscal year, into a positive, which is good news.
So
an accomplishment.
Any comments on fund 301? Public comments for 301.
If you're online, raise your hand.
And see, that's the one.
There's no public comment on.
Richard Margetson, some of you already heard this, but that 90,000 is important because it's part of the narrative when we get to a special fire tax, that fund now, that reserve is fully funded. And it goes to that argument about the district being prudent, having established reserves, paying everything for cash. But it doesn't sound like a lot now, but 90,000, when you're doing the calculation to figure out what that increase is going to be, is going to help.
So I have a quick question. Like, we're taking the reserves down to zero. That 26-27 budget of 143,000, is that what we've already put in, or am I misunderstanding? Yeah. Oh, that includes vehicle replacement?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the difference. Taking the 90,000, now we're at the 143, and that's for vehicle replacement sinking fund.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Fund 400, Vista de Oro. Yeah, not much here other than that the board had requested staff change the cost allocation percentage from 0.25% to 0.2%. Water. So per board direction, water is going to take $50,000 from Zone A allocation. And also, there's a decrease in the transfer percentage from 71 to 69%. And then one more change. And when we look at the next slide, we'll see that there's more expenditures and revenues. So staff is recommending that instead of $2.1 million from our capital outlay reserve, we'd like to move $1 million in as unassigned cash. Oh, no, I'm sorry, into the expenditure line item for capital outlay. And you can see that right here. So if you look down on that second column, that budget, I'm sorry, not the second column, the capital outlay column, there's a budget 2.793 million, so that will have already the $1 million from the capital outlay reserve. Is that correct?
Well, almost correct. I'm sorry. What we're asking for is that, you know, as it was mentioned earlier, that, you know, we've been able to do a lot of pay as we go. So what we're asking for is authorization from the board tonight to use up to $1 million out of the capital reserve, in if our pay as or go from unassigned cash isn't adequate. And the reason, you know, we haven't had to do that for the last 7 years, but we've done a lot of projects, or unassigned cash is down, and we have some very expensive projects coming up. So it's to offset any cost that will exceed our unassigned cash.
Thank you, Ron.
have a question on that real quick. So it sounds like it's a possibility, but not a certainty, that we will run out of unassigned cash. So this is a safeguard?
Safeguard, so we don't have to come back for, if we need to spend the money, we don't have to come directly back. Of course, we would inform the board once we've used reserves and reflect that in our new reserve balance.
How much unassigned cash do we have right now in water?
A little over 500,000.
All right. Thank you very much.
What usually happens is projects get delayed, but in case they don't get delayed, we'd have the money to do what we need to do.
Makes sense. I like it.
Okay. Any other questions on the water fund? Wastewater, no changes since the last meeting. Again, this is sort of a pass-through fund to pay debt service. Take some admin fee from it. On 650, solid waste. This was discussed at the May 7th meeting. We're just looking for confirmation for the compost delivery program costs and the elementary school garden and recycling education program funding. And you can see those next to the red arrow there. That is what comprises the cost increase of $30,500 from the previous year.
Yeah, perfect. I think those are good programs. Great programs to be funded from the franchise.
Thank you. And Fund 800, drainage. Again, there's an increase from 2.5 to 4% in the transfer percentage to cost allocation. And there is a Zone A revenue allocation of $46,000 and some change there. So there's the transfer amount. We do have a placeholder in capital outlay in case projects come up. Drainage is one of those areas where projects come up when you least want them to. So it's good to have a little bit of funding set aside just in case.
How much unassigned cash do we have in drainage? Just $300? Oh, okay. It's because the negative $37,000 is making me nervous and want to make sure that it's not an issue.
We actually have $492,000.
Oh, fantastic.
It is.
It's unassigned.
It's in our finance packet.
Normally, I was looking very close at that, but these questions came up just now when we were talking. So.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
You can ask still.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to Fund 900. For board direction, we are moving $100,000 of the Zone A tax revenue to Fund 900. And that is shown here. This is also one where we are replenishing a budget that the district had borrowed from. Maybe Ron could speak more to that.
Well, you know, our past practice is to try to keep it at that level from when the pool fund was around, since we hear a lot about that lately. So this is that, we'll make that whole from the expenditures we did on the Sunnyside effort, which I don't know if people saw the most recent results. We're in the 8 votes away from a
yes. Yeah, I saw that.
8.
It was 100 as of yesterday.
So, of yesterday thinking, well, it was a good try, but now we're down to 8. So we'll see.
We'll see.
That reminds, you know, we said that if it does pass, we'd be back with a revised Fund 900 budget.
Okay. Okay, moving on. We have our advisory committee recommendations. This budget was taken to, or funds 500 and 800 were taken to Utilities Advisory Committee. Emergency Services Advisory Committee looked at Fund 301. Parks and Recreation Committee looked at Fund 900. And Finance Advisory Committee looked at the whole budget. And so we do have four recommendations. One is to improve the budgets, improving the increases and decreases in transfers, authorizing that $1 million from the waterfront's capital outlay reserve, as discussed, and also approving the position. And we'll take any questions.
Oh, public comment.
Hang on a second. Yeah, we got a public comment for this item.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Richard Margetson, the water budget was discussed a little bit at Finance on Monday, and it looks like all of the capital line item will not be spent this year. So there may be a surplus, correct, for the fund by the end of the year. So that kind of rollover effect that we've had in the past, that's kind of kept us solvent or more than solvent. You know, I listening to the conversation and some of the questions about the administrative fund and the cost allocation, it might be good with the change in general manager for the board to have an exercise or agenda item to get an explanation of how all that works and how it, where it's pulled from and how it's allocated back out and stuff. It's been a long time. I mean, Ron's up to speed on it, but he's been here a long time. And it is a little sometimes confusing, and sometimes it's guesswork or best available information. But I think the board, I think it'd be a good exercise for the board to fully understand how it works. Because I agree with Chuck. I have some questions about the 60-40, but if that comes up again, we'll talk about it. And then I brought this up a number of times, and I know you've heard it. Sometime this year, it would be nice to have a discussion about the tremendous amount of money that's in solid waste and what we're going to do with it for the community. So.
Yeah, thank you for those comments. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board.
I'll move that the board adopt resolution 2026-09 approving the fiscal year 2026-2027 final budget and approve increasing the transfer amounts for funds 301-800 and decreasing the transfer amount from fund 200-400-500 as stated in the report, and authorize the use of up to $1 million of funds 500's capital outlay reserve to offset the fund 500's budget deficit and approve the assistant general manager and assistant general manager slash district engineer job descriptions and salary schedules.
I'll second that.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Vice President Sesenia.
Yes.
President Forcroy.
Yes. So we pass unanimously our budget. I want to also appreciate gratitude. I think we're taking this for granted that this process is this simple for the board. I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes, but everything's very clear. The issues are out in front, and so we can discuss them. When I started this 8 years ago, that first budget discussion I went through was really painful. It's by law that we need a budget by July 1st. So it's like, we're not leaving until we get one kind of thing. And if the information is not clear or not accurate, can't really move forward. So really appreciate all the effort that we've been, how that's improved so much over time. Looking forward to this next fiscal year.
It really has, like, the bonds made our budget so much more clear, and you have these handy tables that those of us that like math really love, and so you kind of show us where the money is and how our reserves have been going up over time. But that's been
I mean, I guess it's easy to take for granted now, but it's a world of difference from where we started.
Now, you know, I really do want to thank Laura, because she really helps. You know, we listened to all our committees, what they needed, especially finance. We listened to the board, and the clarity became, you know, I think we started with a good base when I got here, but we improved it. So between everyone's comments, that's what it takes to make a budget easy to read and understand.
We had lots of Lisa comments. She had a lot of ideas too.
Would it be beneficial in the future where regarding administrative transfers, instead of being labeled as transferred on all the funds, it'd be relabeled as admin transfers, just so it's very clear at even the slightest glance that that's where the admin budget is coming from?
It's a good point, because Greg was questioning that as well. And for clarity, just simple word changes.
Well, Richard's point's well taken about, you know, as there's new blood in people who aren't as familiar, you know, going through some exercises to understand how things are, why they are the way they are, is probably very helpful. So, okay, let's move on. We're going to move to public comments for items not on this agenda.
Oh, did we do the roll call? Oh, we did. Okay, no.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margetson, just real quick, some of you know or have seen, Friday, Saturday is the People Helping People monster rummage sale, the whole community center. Chuck can attest to it. Friday, 12 to 4, at 12 o'clock, the line will be from the stage door all the way to the skateboard park. People lined up every year. It's unbelievable. And then Saturday, 9 to 2. One-third of the proceeds go to the community center, one-third go to People Helping People, and one-third is held for the Christmas event, which then is divided between the NOR Clinic and 440 Prado Homeless Services Center. That's all I got. Hope to see you there. One of those days, plenty of treasures. I haven't talked to Chuck. I don't know if he's coming Saturday to help us tear down, but I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
There is no public comment online.
Okay, thank you. Let's move to administrative and committee reports. And we have a GM report, first GM report from Mr. Qualick.
Thank you, members of the board, and I'll keep it pretty simple. I've been here 2.5 weeks. It's been a really fun experience getting to know staff, getting to know the board and members of the community. It's interesting coming into an organization as they're in the middle of the budget, in the middle of an election, with a bunch of night meetings. It's been really fun. I've been learning a lot. I'm really appreciative to Ron. I didn't want to say anything earlier because I know he said he didn't like that kind of thing. I told him I'll have a lot to say to him on his last day. And luckily that is not yet. One comment I'll make is that, you know, a lot of folks are coming to me with ideas, members of the community, some board members, staff, and I love that. I also know that, you know, me being here a couple of weeks is not the time to make big changes or make big promises or anything like that. So I am compiling these suggestions. I have some of my own observations about the organization, and I'd like to come back to the board in 6 months or so when things have settled for me, just with some of those observations and maybe a way forward for the district. So I wanted to let you all know that, to expect that from me towards the end of the year, maybe at the very beginning of the next calendar year. And then finally, I want to highlight that the district did receive a district transparency certificate of excellence from the Special District Leadership Foundation, which is very exciting. I had no part in this, of course, but I know Laura worked very hard on this, you know, wrangling staff and the board, and doing that successfully is no easy task. A very important distinction, given that all I've heard about how the CSD, you know, used to operate, Whereas now we are an awardee for transparency is just really exciting and something that the board should be proud of. So again, thank you to you all for being involved in that and staff as well. And you know, there may be some other distinctions coming up that we're looking at trying out. So those are all my comments. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to LOCAC report. Anybody go to
LOCAC? I did attend the LOCAC meeting. It was pretty uneventful, and I have to admit, I kind of faded at the end as they were electing officers or moving into that part of their agenda. I meant to go back and rewatch like I usually do, and I got sidetracked by basin management issues. So I'm not sure if they completed the election of officers. They had still some openings on LOCAC.
Thanks for your honest review.
If I could jump in and just say, yeah, I am aware that there is a at-large opening for LOCAC. So.
I think it's my district, District 2, or at least there was. I thought there might even be two open.
I think there might be. And people should not fear LOCAC anymore. Their meetings are kind of fun, actually, and I think they're productive.
It's a great organization. It's where I got started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Parks and Rec Committee, that we had a meeting and we discussed Sunnyside and potential timelines and really preliminary type budgetary numbers to get the committee a feel for what this would look like and what the numbers kind of sort of look like should it pass. And like Greg said, Ron said it's neck and neck, so we'll wait and see what the voters decide. Utilities, what did you do in utilities this month?
We I think went over budget again, finalized that. Always juggling projects, learning about new projects. I guess the one thing I would like to point out is a shout out to Nate, Paul, and the team down at the water yard. We had our special meeting down there last week, and I think we have a good crew. They're enthused about what they do. What I really liked was seeing the big barn that housed all the equipment. Thinking back to the leaky sea trains, you know, and probably had to move equipment to get to the equipment they needed, you know, spend half their time trying to find things. So it's really nice to be able to provide the equipment that your team needs.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. Mm-hmm. I remember discussing it and approving it, but
mm-hmm. and
being in there.
They're proud of it too, it seems to me. That's
as they should be.
Nice and clean and
organized.
And someday they'll have matching desks that they don't have to pick up beside the road when they need one.
Okay. Finance.
The usual, we had a great meeting and the committee recommended approval of the warrant register and receiving and filing the financials.
How about emergency services?
Oh, that's me. What do we do? Oh, I need to remember.
I'll try to help you there. I got to remember too. We talked about budget. We talked about the fire station remodel. I had updated costs from Omni Design that gave us 2026 costs from their estimation. And then just basically the other stuff, fire reports. And I think those were the big budget and the station were the big ones.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Was there a BMC meeting?
There was last Friday. The annual report, draft annual report is out. I think the public comment period's just about over. Some of the highlights from the summary, the basin yield metric isn't really a number to look at this year because they were still using the sustainable yield estimate from the steady state model. So water level metrics, chloride metrics, and nitrate metrics were the ones we focused on. Water level metric dropped. We're now 3.5 feet above mean sea level, down from 4.1 feet. The goal is 8 feet, to have fresh water 8 feet above salt water. So that was a deterioration in conditions. Chloride metric did drop from 249 milligrams per liter to 230, but that's kind of an average for everything. And to really chloride, you have to look at individual wells. Some go up, some go down. And that tells you a more precise story about where the problems are. But anyway, overall, it was a slight improvement. The nitrate metric went from 15.7 milligrams per liter to 12.9, which is an improvement, which could be important someday if we wind up harvesting water from Zone C. That was the compartment that was degraded by the septic tanks, and it's going to take a while for the treatment plant to clear that up. So we may be looking at denitrification, and if that number keeps dropping, that is good news. So the annual monitoring report will be back before us. We have to approve it by July 1st.
Probably. I remember so. Next meeting's third Tuesday, June 17th, but it's somewhere around there.
And this is the start of the process that eventually leads to the growth management ordinance recommendation later in the year. Take the annual report and just start crunching numbers and seeing what things mean. And that was the key for the BMC last Friday.
Okay. Our next item here is director announcements, district community interest reports on public meetings, etc. I wanted to highlight that the board and general managers, we had a special meeting down at the water yard where we got a hands-on demonstration tour of the new SCADA system that was installed. That was a big capital project that's been happening for the last over a year now, from design to implementation. Canon engineering staff was there to help guide us through it and talk about, what was done and kind of the ongoing future projects that still need to happen to fully utilize all the potential of that system. So I thought it was a really great just meeting and get the board down to the water yard. And you feel a little guilty that we've pushed that budget every single year to replace that building. But I think we need to
hold. We've got the equipment. They've got, the valve exercising machines and the equipment we've been good about.
Yeah, so it's good.
Maybe it's time to stop pushing out the...
Kicking the can.
It can't go on forever.
But yeah, I thought that was a great move.
It was.
So, and I don't think we had any real previously asked questions.
I did the Morro Bay Estuary Committee it's quarterly. So I attended that. And they have a lot going on. They're in the process of hiring. They're doing freshwater macroinvertebrate monitoring, and it tells you about the quality of the water. I guess you kind of collect the bugs and see, depending on what kind of bugs you collect, it gives you a lot of information of how, the water quality. I thought that was interesting. What do they have? They're doing flow monitoring for the creek. Paying attention to like the steelhead life cycle. I think they're saying if they open it back up, we should get steelhead back in our creeks. They have ongoing ice plant removal. The ice plant's non-native and it holds down the sand, and the native species prefer the sand to be moving. So when they remove the ice plant, usually the native plants pop right back up. So I think the associate director moved up to be the director, and so they are hiring that position. And they're doing an eelgrass study, genomic study. There's six different estuaries with like the eelgrass, and they're gonna take eelgrass from each and transplant it into each of the other estuaries to try to see if there's any of them are becoming more adapted to global warming. And so I don't know if I know how to explain it, but I thought that was really interesting. They have a Facebook page with 151,000 views, up from 91,000 views last year. And they do events all the time. And they tend to post those on Eventbrite. They had one recently that was Science After Dark, where they had a presentation on the bay fish monitoring and the steelhead growth studies. And they also host educational field trips. They take kids out kayaking, you know, a lot of kids that haven't experienced the water, and that's something they're proud of. So, and the last program is they can't go to all the schools, but what they do is they educate 40 educators, and then those educators go back to their schools and teach the kids about the estuary. So lots of things going on there.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
I did attend one extra capsule function other than the usual monthly board meeting. I represent this body. They board at Capsule is composed of a bunch of different aspects of the community. And one of them is they want elected officials on the board. And so I went to the Employee Appreciation Day. It's a large organization, 1,000 employees, probably one of the larger employers in the county. $100 million budget, everything from adult daycare centers, health clinics, Head Start programs, 40 Prado. But the Employee Appreciation Day is always fun because a nonprofit that has people work there 45 years is a pretty strong nonprofit. That's pretty remarkable. And they had several people in that group. And it's always just a fun day. But I probably won't be doing it much longer because I hear Morro Bay has been asking if they can have the representative on CAPSLO. And they have just joined, I think, the countywide homeless coalition effort. They were the last city in the county to join. And they've reached out to CAPSLO to indicate that. And CAPSLO has been wanting to open a warming center, do those kind of things there. I think Morro Bay is probably going to be a little more likely to be coordinating those kind of things than we are out here. So I expect that I'll lose that spot to Morro Bay, but it's been fun and interesting to see all of the different programs that they have, everything from, like I said, adult daycare down to Head Start programs.
Do you recommend going to a board meeting or?
Monthly board meetings, but just Zoom anymore. We used to get good dinner.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the next piece is public comment for items on the administrative committee reports. I want to point out, so we have Chief McLean here, right? And I bet you're here for item K. Is that correct?
I'm here for the resolution for the inspections. Yes.
Right. So I want to point that out if we have any specific questions about item K, which is a report regarding inspection of certain occupancies required to perform annual inspections, we have the right person to talk to. So with that, before I do that, is there anybody that wants to pull a consent agenda item specifically?
I was thinking about pulling E, the GAN. I have a question. Should I just ask a question? And if you don't know off the top of your head, that's okay. But how much appropriation do we have now? I know we have the iBank and we have the wastewater bond. I'm not sure if we have anything else outstanding.
We do not.
So approximately how much have we spent of our GAN limit?
I don't know that offhand.
Okay, you can get back to me.
Okay, so with that, we'll take public comment for any items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Richard Margetson, isn't the GAN always under, and isn't it just a formality to approve it? But Basin Management Committee meeting, Bruce was Bruce. The one, couple things. The letter that the committee sent to Coastal Commission, it was referred to at the meeting, and Dan Heimel said, you know, what happened with it. It was basically a receive and file. And I made the comment, I don't believe that's good enough. I believe the Basin Management Committee, either collectively, not Bruce, because he's already had his side conversations with the Coastal Commission whenever he picks up the phone or needs to talk to them. But I believe the other members, either collectively or individually, need to have that discussion with the Coastal Commission, because we're coming up on the growth ordinance management decision again. And, you know, Bruce is going to go for the whatever, 2.1 or 0.4 or 0.6, whatever, because he's just got it stuck in his head that everything's fine out here. That was a little, and I actually did talk to Mark from Golden State. He came up to me after that comment after the meeting, and maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I think they're going to try to maybe have a separate meeting themselves, Golden State, with Coast Commission and talk through some of this. But I think going collectively as the three purveyors or whatever, I think would be appropriate. And as far as Capslow, you might not be replaced yet. That issue about warming station, I talked to Biz a little while ago, and she said that Morbay's not that receptive to it, and was wondering if there was any place here in town, the community center, you know, if that transition happens or something, if it could be worked out. So I know there's, what, three members on Capsule from Los Osos, or four? Three?
There's three others.
Three others.
So I make four. Yeah, we're a large part of the board.
Right, right. But they're on for different reasons. They weren't up. They're not a government official or or appoint, you know, they, from they're representing other factions. But yeah, don't be giving it up yet, because he's been a good member of that board. He's advocated for this community with respect to a lot of those issues. That's it.
Those comments are well taken. I think we've been discussing about advocacy, definitely at higher levels and different agencies for the basin, the district, the growth management. I think that's very important going forward as well. Okay, not seeing any other public comment on the administrative or committee reports, so bring it back to the board.
Since we have someone here, can we have him speak to our resolution?
We certainly can, if you would like.
Good evening, Kevin McLean with County Fire. We brought to you, I think it's covered well in the staff report. Back in, I think it was 2018, they had the ghost ship fire up in Oakland where people perished. They were living inside an unpermitted building. So since then, the state came across some regulations that required cities, local departments to do mandatory inspections on educational facilities, residential hotels, motels, and triplexes. So what we brought before you is just letting you know that we completed them in the community of Los Osos. I think it was 5 schools and 26 residentials, if I believe correctly. So, and I'm here to answer any questions you have with those.
I think we're just headed to approve it. But since you're here, I'm glad you could come speak.
Here, just in case there's any questions, it's it's a priority of ours to make sure we get those done and in a timely manner, and work with the citizens if we do find a violation to get it corrected in a meaningful way. So
yeah, thank you.
No appreciate problem. It.
I really want to thank Chief, because he is diligent and follows through on all this and is willing to sit here and participate. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on your retirement. It's been a privilege working with Ron. He's actually helped me out quite a bit coming new to the fire marshal and dealing with presentations. So it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, back to the board. For a motion.
I move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, we pass that and receive and file the administrative committee reports. Future agenda items. Do we have any?
I have one potential. I went to a hazard mitigation training before the last ESAC meeting, and one of the things mentioned in the training was a Cal Fire's Firewise community initiative, and I wanted to see if we or ESAC or a combination of us and LOCAC could lead an effort to make Los Osos or several sections of Los Osos a Firewise community or Firewise communities, depending on the size. Since fire is such a priority and we're going into potential fire tax increase, doing that and mixing that with the outreach for why we need that fire tax increase seems like a good idea to me.
So what would that entail?
I don't really know for sure. That's why I want staff to look into the details.
I can just give a high level on it. We looked at it here internally, and my sense is that Firewise, that designation is really intended to be a community-driven thing. So Cabrillo Heights, if I'm not mistaken, is already designated as a Firewise community. If we wanted to do it as a CSD as a whole, you know, even our water service area is above the maximum number of single-family homes. So really what the CSD would be doing would be maybe helping to look for folks who would be willing to organize this in their communities and filling in any gaps if there are gaps. Still a lot to research and understand from this, and I haven't had yet the opportunity to talk to the folks at the station about it to get their thoughts, but you know, we're willing to help if that's something the board is interested in.
Is this another name for the Fire Safe Council, or the things that it's a kind of a separate issue? Okay,
it is. You know, we have our focus group. That's part of Fire Safe Council, and that's was headed up by Jose Torres, but I think that it's in between leadership. But that was like more of like chipping days and things like that. I think what Greg's alluding to is we would have to do neighborhood organizations, let's say Bayview Heights or Highland, you know, that side of town, because there is limitations, from what our research shows, on the numbers of dwelling units. And that's why Cabrillo Estates, you know, they organized themselves, the Property Owners Association up there, and it became a fire safe neighborhood, Firewise neighborhood.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
I just know it's getting strange because I have a friend at Fern and off of Fern Street there, just by Mitchell. And he just got a notice from his insurance company about living near a fire zone. And he's in danger of losing insurance. And I he's closer to the bay than he is to any Manzanita. I don't, it's a tricky one.
Okay.
So I think just a suggestion would be that staff could follow up with ESAC and have a discussion with them on how to move forward if the board was interested in that. You know, to what extent can we be involved with community efforts? And that would give staff a chance to do some more research so we can give something concrete to that group.
That's what I would like to see.
Well, you have the power to agendize things. So if that's what you want to see, say what you want.
Yeah, I would love to see that on the agenda.
Just a heads up on one that's coming is it's part of our policy annually. Once the Base Management Committee has made a recommendation to the county on the growth management ordinance, we will return to the board with a report on our water supply, just production numbers per capita. But it also, part of the policies is the recommendation to continue to issue will serve letters in 2027 or not. So that's coming.
Okay. Before I adjourn, I wanted to point out that our next meeting is scheduled for July 2nd, which caught me by surprise. I'm used to it being the second week of July. So I won't be here, but it's July 2nd, so mark your calendars. With that, meeting adjourned.
Oh, I do have one last comment. In accordance with what Mr. Margetson said, I will be sending a letter to the Coastal Commission tomorrow about a specific appeal. I've clearly identified myself as a resident of the community, but I also have to note that I'm a member of the CSD Board and Basin Management Committee, not speaking for those. So I think as a courtesy, I should copy probably this board, just so you know what your BMC representative's doing.
As himself.
As himself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now meeting adjourned.
No, I just got to thinking of that.
The last time I had to watch you on a video.